So what do you think? I agree. Welcome to your new home. We are very excited to be here. I want you to, at the end of today, if you're his wife, you can kiss him. Everybody else, hug him. TJ, because he's already been here this morning. So you can do that math. He was here last night and still here this morning so that we had this experience. So a lot of hard work has gone into this, but man, I'm really excited to be here. I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad for the guests that are here. We're gonna have a good time today. As you know, in this series we've been in, Get Moving, the last 2 weeks, what we've done is we've looked backwards, right? If you're a guest today, we've been in the series for 2 weeks. Today's our third week. And what we did the last 2 weeks in the movie theater is we looked back at what God had done through Wellspring. Because what I believe and what the Bible teaches is that anytime you're going to move forward, anytime you're going to take a step for God, first you need to step back and look back. He did it in the Old Testament, did it in the New Testament. They always reflected. So that's what we've done for the past 2 weeks. And today and next week, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about two specific areas that God's really laid on my heart as your pastor that I think we need to take a step forward. But they're cool things because they're things we're already doing well. We're already doing them well, but I think we can do them even better. So that's where we're going to be for the next couple of weeks, leading up to Easter 2011. Right here is our official grand opening. I'm not really sure where we're going to put all of you on Easter, since this was a sneak preview service, but we'll figure it out. We may have to do some lap sitting on Easter, so I hope you're comfortable with that. Everybody buddy up. And that may be how we do it. But anyway, that's where we're going. That's where we're going to be. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to talk about the first of two areas, two issues that are always going to come up in the life of a church. And two areas where, as I said before, you guys are already doing really well in this area. You are. And that's why it's fun to talk about. Because it's not like I'm having to say, hey, get started on this. I get to say, hey, let's do this better. Let's take this to even the next level. And where we're going to be today is that we're going to start in a passage that if you've been around Wellspring a while, you know I talk about this passage a lot because it's very important to me. I think it's one of those crucial passages in the Bible that we just need to get. And if we can wrap our brain around it, a lot of the other things just kind of flow from it. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians 2. I'm going to read three verses starting in verse 8. And then we're just going to kind of talk about it. I'm really going to focus on the last verse, but I want to read you the whole thing to give you the context of it. Starting in verse 8, it says this, all right? God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Very, very briefly, that, folks, that's the gospel. That's why we exist, is because God wants to and has, for some of us, and for some of us, he wants to save us. And it's nothing we can take credit for. It's nothing we can earn. It's a gift. Verse 9. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. See, God knows that he knows me and he knows you, and he knows that if this were something we could earn, that we'd turn around and brag about it, you know, and say, hey, look what I got. Look how much God loves me. Look how much God's blessed me because I'm so good. There's actually an entire group of people in the Bible that built their whole life on that, but that's not what today's message is about, so I got to stay on topic. I'm a little excited today. Can you tell? I'm a little jazzed up. All right, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That's where we're going to live today. We're going to live right there, for we are God's masterpiece. Because that's a strong word. That's a very strong word. The Greek there, word's poema. I'm not trying to impress you with the Greek. But the Greek's there. That's what it means. It means poema. That's where we get our word poem from. It means a creation. And really, what Paul's trying to say here is that each and every one of us are God's handiwork. He has taken time to mold us and to shape us. And when he looks at us, he sees a masterpiece. Now, when I look at myself, I don't see a masterpiece. I'm sure many of you, when you're home and you're thinking and you look at yourselves, you're like, no, this isn't a masterpiece. I see this flaw, I see this flaw, I see this, I see this. But here's the beautiful part. I'm going to teach this all the time because it's so crucial. You don't get to determine your value, not your job, because you're not qualified. It's the same way when they do art auctions, you know, in New York, and they're going to auction off, I think I joked about this before, a Matisse. I don't even know what that means, but I've heard that word before. If they were to auction off a Matisse, guess what they would not do? They would not call me, Trey Kelly, pastor of Wellspring Church, and say, hey there, Pastor Trey, we were hoping you could tell us what the value of this Matisse was. I would say, dude, Google it. I don't know. You would be better off Googling it. But see, what they do is they ask an expert. They ask someone that is intimately acquainted with art, the art scene, knows everything about it, and they set the price. Well, folks, the God of the universe is intimately acquainted, intimately knowledgeable. He knows everything about you. He created you. He knows every person on the planet, and he has decided, he's looked at you, and he has set your value at priceless. He has set your value at masterpiece. So it doesn't really matter what anybody else says. The only one that counts has already voted. And he says that you are a masterpiece, that you have been carefully planned, you have been carefully thought out, you have been created, and you have been shaped with a great attention to every single detail. Now, that would be a great message in and of itself, right? That would be a real rah-rah fun. I can leave here feeling great, feeling like I can change the world. They told me today that I'm a masterpiece. I'm awesome. Now I feel good about myself. That's a self-help seminar. Not really what I'm interested in. Not really what I'm interested in. Now, here's the beauty of why you were shaped that way. You were shaped that way by God for a reason. He didn't just shape you that way for fun. He shaped you that way for what it says there in verse 10. It says in verse 10, we're God's masterpiece, and he created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See, God hasn't been molding you and shaping you and creating you and making you unique from everybody else just so it would be fun to be unique from everybody else. He's done it, and here's the first point. Here's what I hope you can get today. He's done it for a reason. He's done it because we all, every single one of us, have a role to play in God's story. Every one of you in the room has a role to play in God's story. He has molded you and shaped you and created you so that you can do the good things that he planned for you long ago. Every single one of you in the room, God has good things planned for you that he wants to do through you. He has a role for you to play in his story of seeing Myrtle Beach come back to him, and it's a role nobody else can play but you. Now, I don't know about you, but that fires me up. That's something. That's something when God's word tells me, hey, wait a minute. My life has more meaning than just to be around and make sure my kids get fed and make sure they go to a semi-decent school and make sure they have good educations and making sure that they marry somebody good and they make a good job. No. No, we have all been created to play a role in God's story, and he wants to use us, folks, to change the world. And this has been his plan from the very beginning. From the very beginning, once, you know, that awful thing happened in the garden, which I'll explain another time, but basically sin into the world, and that's why we need Jesus, because we decided that we knew better than God. We could go our own way. Since that moment, God put in place a plan that says, I'm going to help them. I'm going to fix them. What they need is relationship with me. The only way that can happen is through Jesus Christ. But here's where you and I come in. What he decided was, you know what? I'm going to leave it in their hands. I'm going to send my son, and he's going to hang out with 12 dudes for 3 years, and he's going to pour into them. And then they're going to start this thing called the church. And the Bible actually says this thing called the church is actually going to be my representation on earth for the rest of eternity, for the rest of the time earth exists. And what our job is to do as the church, people in this room who have given their lives to Jesus, who have said, yes, I believe this, our job is very simple. It's to represent Jesus. It's to play a role in God's story of bringing everybody back to him. That's the church. We say this all the time at Wellspring, and I want you to get it. The church isn't Myrtle Beach Middle School. This is a middle school. I hope you acknowledge that, right? This is a middle school. This is not the church. You're the church. Church isn't a place you go. Church is something you are. It's people. All right? We are people called by God to change the world. And here's where it really gets to. Here's where I'm going. I think that we as a people of Wellspring, and again, if you're a guest today, if you're here for the very first time, you're checking out this God thing, I am so stoked you are here. I appreciate you coming. I really do. today I'm kind of talking to the people who live here, who have made this place its home. So you get to hear, you get to kind of listen in on some instructions. And if they don't do it, you can kind of punch them or something, all right? That'll just be our little agreement. But if you're here today and you call Wellspring home, or even if you don't, if you call Jesus your Lord, if you have a relationship with him, here's my challenge to you. It's time for us to take the next step in finding our place, finding our role, playing our part in God's story. Because God wants to do something radical in Myrtle Beach. He wants to see people come back to him. As I've preached for over a year, he wants to see the dry bones of Myrtle Beach come back to life. But it ain't gonna happen until you and I and all of us embrace our role, embrace the gifts we've been given by God, and say, all right, God, I'm going to use this for your honor and for your glory, whatever it takes, until we see everybody come back to you. That's where we're going. That's what we are called to do. And there's some of you in the room may say, you know what, Trey, that's not me. I'm not special. I'm not gifted. I know you say that, and that's nice, but I don't see it. I don't feel it. Well, I have two questions for you. Are you alive? Yes. Yes, are you breathing? Yes, yes. Well, then guess what? You're a masterpiece. You may be an undiscovered masterpiece. You're not finished yet, but you're a masterpiece, and God wants to use you to change the world. He really does, I promise you. So what I want to do now, I want to move from Ephesians 2 to Ephesians 4, and I want to walk you through what this looks like. What this looks like as a church. And what I hope is, as I paint the picture of what it could look like, of where it could go, that you will be spurred upon, as I have been, to say, you know what, this matters. I'm going to take my shot right now. We're going to do this. It's worth it. It's important. It's time to stop playing games and get serious about this stuff. So we're going to be in Ephesians 4, one verse. Verse 16, I'm going to break it down. Here's the whole verse. This is God talking about the church, by the way. This is God talking about what happens when we do this, when we embrace our role, when we embrace the way he's created us to be. This is what happens. Ephesians 4:16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. First thing I want to do is break, you know, we're going to break it down. So the first phrase there is he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. The way he does that is because he's the master craftsman. He's the creator. He has been working and molding and shaping you since before you were born. He had a plan for you to create you, to design you perfectly to fit into his story. He's done this in five key areas. Let me go over them very quickly with you. First of all, every one of you in the room who has accepted Christ and has given your life to him, and everyone in the room who hasn't but might, because I hope you do, God gives us a spiritual gift, all right? I don't have time to get into it. I'm not even going to try to get into it. If you want to hear about spiritual gifts, if you want us to help you discover yours, come to Starting Point. That's what that's for. But just let me just tell you right now, all right? The first way we are shaped by God to fit into our role in his story is through spiritual gifts. All right, let me give you an example. For me, and I hope this is true, it might be a bit presumptuous of me to say, but I believe that God has gifted me with a teaching gift, right? I don't know that I could teach before I became a believer, but I believe God's gifted me with the ability to understand his word and to communicate it effectively to his people. Again, I say I hope that's true. I guess we'll see, right? But that's a spiritual gift, and we all have them, and we have to discover them, and we're called to use them. All right, but it doesn't just stop with spiritual gifts. See, if you've been in church before, you've heard about spiritual gifts, and you're like, yeah, I know. You take a little survey, and you figure out your spiritual gift, and all that kind of stuff, and you have the spiritual gift of administration, so that means you have to take a role in Sunday school, right? No, it's not what I'm going to do to you. Here's where it gets fun, because there are four other areas where God has been working in your life the whole time, and you had no idea. All right, so spiritual gifts is where he starts. Second, your heart. Your heart. Here's what that means. What do you like to do? What excites you? What are the things you do for fun? What are the things you say, I would do that for free? The things you enjoy. God wants to use those things for his glory. See, the Bible says, serve the Lord with all your heart. And a lot of times we've thought that meant with 100% and total devotion. And there's some merit to that, but I also believe the reason it says serve the Lord with all your heart, it means take the things that I have put in you that you love to do, and let's figure out how we can use that for my glory. Some of you have never thought about that before. You had no idea that the fact that you love surfing could be used by God. I can't surf, so I don't know how you can use it for God's glory, but he does. We'll figure out a way. Have a surfing team. I don't know. Probably have to move to the West Coast to be able to do it, but... See, it's there. Whatever you're passionate about, whatever it is you enjoy, I want you to bring it to the staff. I want you to let us know. It is our job to help you figure out how to channel that for God's glory. Some of you are passionate about working with children, and I think you have mental issues. But I'm really glad that you're passionate about working with children, because I'm not. Enough said. So, yeah. There's no redeeming quality to that one. I'm not. I love my children. I don't really like anybody else's. So glad you're here. So we have spiritual gifts. We have heart. We also, next thing, we have abilities. The natural skills and talents you have, God gave those to you to use for His glory. A great example. Because, you know, there's nothing special about this. There's a lot special about it. I don't have it. But lots of people have it. It's just a natural ability. TJ can flat out sing. Right? Dude can blow. I can't sing, which is why I don't. But TJ does. TJ took an ability he had that he could have used for any reason, and he said, I'm going to give this to God. I'm going to allow God to use this gift that He's given me to help change the world. He's playing His role. I can't tell you the number of people's abilities that have helped us this week. People with the abilities to do woodwork, with the abilities to do electronics, with the abilities to do lighting and sound, the abilities to go way up on a scissor lift and not be terrified. I was terrified when I was up there. Other people are like, oh man, throw stuff to me. I'm like, if you throw anything up here right now, I'll pass out. I wish I were joking. I'm not. I'm scared of heights. But your abilities, God gave those to you. What are you good at? What are the things at work that other people come and say, hey, can you give me a hand with this, that just come natural to you? God gave those to you so that you could use them to help Him change the world. So spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality. Your personality was not a mistake. You may have grown up your whole life people telling you, well, your personality is wrong, you need to fix it. No! Now, if you're a jerk, you need to stop being a jerk. But that's not personality, that's just being a jerk. But God has created us all with different personalities because we all have different roles to play. Again, I'll give you an example from the staff. Eric Colquitt. Love that guy. You put him in a room with 10 people he's never met before. By the end of the time he's with them, they will all think he is the greatest person they've ever met in their life. He's just awesome. He can connect with people. He kills it. Right? And many of you have experienced that. The dude knocks that out of the park. He's a home run. Now, and this is from his own lips. If I put him on this stage and I said, hey, Eric, preach a sermon, he'd pass out. Not his personality. His personality is not one that likes to be up in front of people. He likes to work one-on-one, one-on-two. Now, as I think is obvious, I kind of enjoy being up here. But as I've shared with you guys before, you put me in a room with 10 people I don't know, I'm going to sit over in the corner and hope and pray to God that nobody comes and talks to me. It's just the way I'm wired. I don't know why. I work at it because as the pastor, you kind of need to know people and be nice to people. But one of the ways I do it, honestly, because I can't handle 10 to 20 at a time, is we have a couple of couples over every other week to my house so I can get to know them that way. Because otherwise, I wouldn't get to know them and they think I was really rude. And I'm not rude, I'm just scared. That's just the way I'm wired. I am introverted in groups of people and I don't like it. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with your personality. But if you are an introvert, we don't want you on the guest services team. All right? If you're an introvert, we don't want you at the front door going, hi, I'm so glad you're here. come in. You know, that's not a good fit for you. But you have to embrace your personality. God gave you that. God created that in you. God doesn't make mistakes. And it's our job as a staff of this church to work with you to figure out, all right, let's see where you fit. Because that's the one thing I'm certain of. We all fit somewhere. We all fit somewhere. We just got to figure out where it is. So we have spiritual gifts, we have heart, we have abilities, we have personality, and the last one is, if you can't tell, this spelled shape, which is pretty sweet, right? The last one is experiences. Experiences. And I stole this from Rick Warren. I didn't come up with it, so he doesn't care. He told me. The last one is your experiences. See, God has been working through your experiences your whole life to mold you and to shape you and to prepare you for different things. He's been working through your family experiences, what kind of background did you come from, your educational experiences, jobs you've had. And hear this, even some of the painful experiences that you've had, some of the painful experiences you've had, God can use to help other people in two ways. One, he can use some of your painful experiences as he's redeemed those and you've worked through those. He can use those to help teach some other people some lessons the easy way that you maybe had to learn the hard way. Or number two, what he can do is if people have learned the lesson the hard way, well, you're further down the path, and so you can actually come up to them and say, hey, I've been here before. I got you. You're gonna get through this. I know it was terrible, but you're going to get through this. Great. I'm going to try to say this. A great example is my wife. Many of you know this. We have three children. You may not know, we've actually been pregnant 6 times. 3 for 6. Now, that's painful, man. That's some painful stuff. But I know a lot of you in the room have gone through it too. And now my wife looks back and says, all right, I can walk with ladies as they go through this stuff because I've been there. I've been there. And that's a role she's been created to play. So many of you guys have experiences I'll never have. But as we continue to try to reach the people in Myrtle Beach that don't know God and don't go to church and aren't interested in it, there's going to be a lot of painful experiences that come in. And I believe God is preparing us now with people that as they come in, they can say, hey, I've been there. I've been there. Let me walk with you through this. God's going to be good. God will get you through it. See, God's been at work the whole time and all this stuff. He's been shaping you and you didn't even know it. But now you do. And you got a role to play. Let's keep going. Next part, Ephesians 4:16, the next part, it says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Listen to this. As each part does its own special work. Now see, this is where it might get a tad uncomfortable for some people in the room. And I'm sorry. I love you. But here it goes. You were created by God. You were molded. You were shaped to do special work, to do the good works he planned for you long ago, which means you were not designed, you were not shaped, you were not created to show up on Sunday morning, sit in a chair, go home, and that's your interaction with God for the week. It's not what you were created for. You were created to play a part. And the reason it matters so much is because you were created to play a part. Nobody else can play. It's not like five of us all had the same gifting. No, we're all created to do something different. And that's the way the church works. Each person doing their own special work. And notice it doesn't say if. It doesn't say if you're too busy. It doesn't say if you can squeeze it in between the vacations and the soccer games and the t-ball games and the ballet recitals and the softball games and the birthday parties and the conflicts and the work conflicts. No, it doesn't say that. It says you were created to do a special work. And see, I believe when we begin fulfilling our specific stated role on this earth, and we say, all right, the Bible says I'm created to do special things. I'm created to do the good works that was planned for me long ago. So that should probably be pretty high on my priority list. That should probably be up there with being a good father and a husband. It should probably be right there with playing the role God called. See, when we reverse it, we do that, what we find is, you know, this thing called fulfillment, this thing called contentment that we're actually chasing when we want our kids to be better athletes than we were. That's never going to happen. We're just going to, you know, yell at them a lot. I guess I'm the only one that does that. You guys are holier than me. Way to go. No. See, that's why this is important, is because as you discover your role and as you begin to see God move and God change lives and you see, hey, this actually worked. God's moving through me, and now church is something that I actually look forward to showing up to. It's something that I don't mind rearranging other aspects of my schedule to make sure, you know what, I might have to miss that. I might not be able to go to every softball game that day. My kid might not be able to be on the traveling team this year because we have a more important role to play, one that is changing lives. Because your kid's probably not going to play in Major League Baseball. But he very likely is going to play a role in seeing Myrtle Beach transformed for God. And he's going to be able to be in eternity one day, and somebody's going to say, thanks. You don't even know it, but because of what you did, I'm here. I think that's better. That's just me, though. That's just me. All right, let's keep going. It's getting tense in here. Everybody's like, whoa, stop talking about stuff that actually makes me feel like I need to change things. I know. I'm so glad you're here. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are a minister. And you are called to get equipped and to play your role. And here's why. Next part of this verse. As each part does its own special work, you can't miss this. It helps the other parts grow. Do you hear that? It helps the other parts grow. See, if you don't play your role during a weekend, if you don't play your role at Wellspring, guess what? I can't play mine. If you don't do what God's called you to do, I can't do what God's called me to do. Here's a little secret. I did not set up this gym. I don't know how to do anything with these lights. I didn't even bring this podium out. Somebody else did it. You saw that. For whatever reason, and I still ask him every day, this is what he's called me to do. He called me to come here and to do this, and I'm trying to do it to the best of my ability. But what I'm begging, what I'm pleading is the people who agree and say, yeah, I believe God's called him here to do something special. If you believe that, get involved and play your role so that we can all do what God wants us to do. I can't do this if people don't know where to park. I can't do this if there aren't warm, smiling faces of people walk in the door. I can't do this if there aren't people that say, I want to work with children. I want to make sure they have a phenomenal experience so they want to come back and so mom and dad aren't worried about them the whole time. I can't do this if there aren't people who are going to say, I'm going to show up at 7 a.m. and put out mats and put out chairs because that's important because you'd be standing otherwise. See, we all have to play our role together. And what my call to do as your leader is to constantly remind you, I'm not better than you. My role's not higher than yours. It's just different. But your role is just, please hear me. Your role at Wellspring Church is just as important and just as vital as mine. And it's just as important that you're playing your role well and effectively. That is that I'm playing my role well and effectively. And you need to hear that straight from my heart. It's that important. But when we're all working together, baby, when we're all rocking and rolling, when it's all going, I want you to see this last part. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The whole body is healthy. See, this growth thing, this helping others grow thing, this serving thing, this being plugged in thing, not only does it affect others, not only is your role crucial so that other people can play their role, you playing your role effectively is crucial to you growing, to you being healthy. Now, I don't mean actual health. I'm not preaching, you know, if you love God enough, you'll never get sick. That's not what I'm talking about. Those people are liars. What I am, sorry, they are. And they make my job harder. So what I'm preaching is this. When you play your role, your relationship with God will grow and will be healthy. And the healthier your relationship with God is, guess what? That thing called discontentment that's constantly driving you to try to please other people or try to do things you want to do, it begins to lessen and go away because your relationship with God is healthy. And you have a clear relationship with Him and you hear from Him. And you find yourself wiser than you should be. You make very well-reasoned, well-thought-out, wise decisions for your family. Wiser than you used to make, and you don't really know why. You find it easier to forgive your spouse. You find it easier to not scream at the person that cuts you off in traffic. You find it easier to teach your child as opposed to yell at them. You find it easier at work to not get mad at your boss because he's an idiot. Really? Nobody has an idiot boss? Man, you guys are just nicer. You find it easier to submit to Him and say, you know what? No, God, I understand. You've put this authority in place. And it's not my job to question the authority. It's my job to submit to that authority because I'm going to stand before you one day and you're not going to ask me were you right or wrong. You're going to ask me, how well did you listen to the authority I placed over you? Because, oh, by the way, I did it. And I was trying to do some things you didn't even know I was going to do. See, as you discover your role and as you really allow yourself to be used by God, this growth, this health just comes over you and every other aspect of your life just begins to kind of fall into place and fall into focus. And then you begin to experience what Jesus talked about in John 10:10 when He says the thief, that's the devil, that's the person who hates your stinking guts. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life, that you may have life to the fullest. What I'm trying desperately to present to you today is the key to life to the fullest. It's discovering your role in God's story and playing it to the best of your ability. That's our calling. That's our calling. And it helps us grow. Because when we don't do that, and some of you have heard this illustration before, when we don't do that, we become the Dead Sea. How many of you guys have ever heard of the Dead Sea? Ever seen a picture of the Dead Sea? Maybe you've been accosted by people in the mall trying to sell you products from the Dead Sea. You know, they chase you down the... It's like, dude, I'm good, thanks. I don't need that. So maybe you've seen that, but let me explain the Dead Sea to you. It's one of the saltiest bodies of water known to man. It might actually be the saltiest, but it's one of. And it's completely dead. Nothing can exist in it. Nothing can grow in the Dead Sea. And here's why. It's not because it doesn't have a lot of sources of life coming in. It has tons of sources of life. It has water flowing into it. There are over 35 different minerals that flow in to the Dead Sea. Good stuff, awesome stuff, healthy stuff. Here's why it's dead. It's because nothing flows out. Absolutely nothing flows out of the Dead Sea. It's contained. And as it gets hot, the sun bakes it, and the water evaporates, and the minerals are just left. They're just there. And over time, there's just been so much buildup that it's so thick, so full of minerals that nothing can live there. Absolutely nothing. And I close today by just challenging you. Don't let that happen to you. Don't live a life where you get tons of awesome input from God, where you attend church weekly. Maybe you even attend a Bible study during the week. I mean, it's Myrtle Beach. There's a bunch of churches. Maybe you even go check out a midweek service somewhere else because they have really good music. Maybe you float around to other churches depending on who's preaching or what the topic is. And I say this with love in my heart, but what you're being, if you're doing that, is you're a church consumer. You're just consuming. You're just going around chasing the things of God. And don't get me wrong, they're good things. That's good stuff you're getting. It's good to have a Bible study. It's good to hear good teaching. It's good to have good worship. That's all good stuff. But guess what? There's 35 different minerals that are good that are flowing into the Dead Sea. And it's dead as a doornail. because nothing flows out. Where is God flowing out of you? You're receiving, you're getting, but where are you giving? Where are you serving? Where are you loving? Where is God actually not only giving to you, but moving through you so that he can transform the world around you? Because that's what you're called to do. That's what it means to discover your gifts, to discover your role, and to play your part in God's story. It means you go from, all right, God, give, to, all right, God, how do you want to move through? How do you want to move through? It's almost the same gesture. Give, please. Just goes to here. All right, move through. Maybe even put your hands up. I surrender. I give up. Move through. Move through. That's my challenge for each one of you today. And that's what God has placed on my heart to say, if we want to see this thing really go to the next level, if we want to see what God can do here, if we really want to see our friends, neighbors, and coworkers come back to Jesus, we got to play our role. We got to find our spot. We got to plug in. And we got to serve. So as we wrap up, I want to make it really easy for you today to do it, okay? I want to make it really easy. And no, this wasn't some really long con to try to get you to this point. I just want to make it super easy for you today. Ushers are going to be coming down the aisles and passing out a card. What that card says is this. It says, serve on Easter. Okay, and here's what I'm saying. Like I said, this was not just a ruse to get people to volunteer for Easter. We probably have enough volunteers for Easter. Probably, we probably do. We got a lot of people volunteering. Here's what I want you to do, though. I want you to look at that card, pick a spot, and say, I'm going to try that. And here's my guarantee to you. You're not signing up for a year. You're not signing up for a month. You're not signing up for 2 weeks. You're signing up for Easter. That's it. One try. To say, hey, all I want to do here is I want to try to find my spot here. So I'm going to read this thing. That looks interesting. I'll try that. If it doesn't work, we'll try to help you find somewhere else. All right? Because there's lots of places to serve here. And there's always more areas opening up as we discover more passions, talents, and gifts that you have. But my challenge today is to just take the step and say, all right, God, I'm going to take a step. I'm going to say, I'm going to begin today to try to find my place, my fit, my role in your story. Because it's worth it. Because I want to be healthy, and I want to be growing, and I want to be closer to you. And because I want to fulfill my purpose on earth, which is to see people that don't know you come back to you. So I'm going to pray over you guys in just a moment. And then we're going to have some announcements, and we're going to pass our offering basket. So I encourage you right now, take a step. Fill out that card. Pray about it. Say, all right, God, I'm doing this out of obedience to you. And I'm begging you to help me find my fit. Help me find my role. Not where they need the most people. It's not how we roll here. If you're not a good fit in a ministry, I'd rather shut it down than put you in it. Because I trust God enough to believe he's going to send the right people for the right things when it's time. So let me pray over you. And get ready to serve on Easter. And get ready to discover your place. It'll change your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for, well, just today. We thank you for the work you've done here. We thank you for bringing us to our new home. We thank you for all the people that have worked so hard. Lord, I pray for every person in this room right now. I pray that you truly begin to speak to them right now about how you've shaped them, how you've molded them, how you've created them, how you've gifted them to play their role in your story, Father. Lord, I pray for wisdom for TJ and for Eric and for myself as we continue to lead these people. Give us the wisdom to know where to put these people, where they fit. So Father, we love you and we thank you for the privilege of getting to play a role in your story. So in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.